What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
From 37 to send Washington to the final eight. The Washington Commanders off the upright, and it is in! They doink their way to the divisional round! Unbelievable!
Welcome back, Grant, Danny, the fan. We are sponsored today and each day by our friends, the law firm Cundori and Murad. They are jacked up as big DC sports fans and longtime fans of this organization like you are about the success on the field of the Commanders. They've got themselves a foundation for the future. It's time for you to consider yours as well, and Cundori and Murad will help. That law firm will get you squared away with a last will and testament or a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation for their estate planning attorneys by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you, and you can get a discount.
I want to remind everybody also, GP, Oot and a Boot, Friday field trip continues this week once again. Uptown Alley in Manassas. GD, all of you folks out there getting ready for, I don't know, a second round of the postseason with you guys. These shows have been a blast all season long. Let's do at least one more.
Yeah, Uptown Alley is an amazing venue. They are named Uptown Alley because there's a bowling alley there. So if you come watch the show, you can bowl. There's also an arcade. It's at a mall, so you can do a little shopping.
Food was great.
Restaurant was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a huge area that we'll be broadcasting from. But we had a ton of listeners come through in Manassas the first time. It's one of the reasons why we wanted to circle back for a playoff game. So that's where we'll be. Manassas, we're coming to you. Friday field trip, Uptown Alley, this Friday afternoon from 2 to 6:30. But let's get to the Rude guest line right now. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. And talk to our buddy Clinton Portis, who was the MVP of the then Redskins the last time they made it to the divisional round. He got a win in Tampa Bay, just like this group did, to move on to the second round. Clinton, it's Grant, it's Danny in D.C. It's great to hear from you again, man. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you all?
We're fantastic, dude. This is as much fun as we've had in some time in, around these parts. Just big picture for you. What have you seen this year? What have you seen with this team that's now in the second round of the postseason? Just kind of big picture evaluation from UCP.
I think it starts at the top, you know, not only within the organization and front office. I think when you look at the coaching staff, the coach brought in something that the players bought into, and you can tell. And I think the leadership and the rules are the same for everyone. And when the person that's leading the team, when the person that's being hyped in the media or sold to the world as the franchise face is that appreciative or that humble, it resonates through the locker room. And you could tell now that Jaden Daniels is the face of the organization. And, you know, doing his thing as a rookie, breaking all the records, getting all the praise that he's getting, he's remained humble, he's remained focused, he's remained confident. You can tell he's a team player. You look at the way the guys react to him. He doesn't get too high, he doesn't get too low, and it's just that even keel, and that's what's dangerous. He's even keel at all times, and then he just go out and make the play that needs to be made.
CP, I've been blown away by how humble he's been all year, and even now that some of these, you know, late in the year big games require that he's getting mic'd up, or you know, we're getting like the behind the scenes access to his conversations with people. Like it's not an act. Even on the field, guys are coming up to him, Bobby Wagner, whoever, and dapping him up, and he's like, "Nah, dude, it's you guys." Like he's just a different kind of guy. I'd imagine in the locker room, you can tell right away when a young star like him is as maybe not just humble, but like appreciative,
it's
like
genuine,
you're saying,
yeah.
As he is.
I think when you look at the genuineness, if you go back to the beginning of his career, starting at Arizona State, I think at that point, if you listen to what those guys said when he left that Arizona State team and how they reacted and how they responded, maybe he was cocky, maybe he was arrogant, maybe he felt like he was a man and wasn't getting it. But his reaction from his teammates back in college to all of a sudden going to LSU, winning the Heisman, playing with some of the best guys in the NFL right now, you know, in Neighbors and the kid Thomas is in Jacksonville. So those guys coming in together, after you experience that, after you lose the locker room, because the way Arizona State guys treated him, you would have thought he was a jerk. You would have thought he was a prick, you know. But the way he's been since that point, he's only went up, you know, to see your teammates turn their backs on you, to see the response, the negativity that came with him leaving, going to LSU. And all of a sudden, once he arrived on LSU campus, he's done nothing but right. His teammates love him. You could tell by their reaction. You could tell by, you know, him winning the Heisman to being a top pick in the NFL draft and everything that he's done since he's gotten here. Even his work regimen, going in, already being ready, already being prepared, already went over the game plan numerous times before anyone else is required in the building. And again, when you get that kind of leadership, it kind of takes it away from other guys. You just start to look at the leadership, the landscape outside of the head coach. You look at the quarterback. You look at Terry, of course. Though you couldn't ask for three better guys. You know, if you look at the head coach, everybody in Dallas loves him. You know, they love him in Seattle. And guys want to play for him. Guys look forward to being around him. Guys love being a part of his scheme. So now when you look at those guys as the face of the team, it's just resonating. And the city is buying in. The city, the fans, always been great in the DMV. The support has always been great. And they've just been looking for something to attach to. And you could tell, like, you could tell by the turnout that we had in Tampa for all the fans to be down there, for us to be just as loud as the Bucks, you know, for us to be able to celebrate in Tampa, to celebrate that win, and it's been that long since we won a playoff game. Like, it was just one of those, they believe the fans are coming back, they believe the team is putting the product on the field, the coaches are doing their thing and making sure they adjust. And that's something that's been missing. Like, you're losing players, you lose pain, you adjust. You know, you're losing your best players, and you're making those adjustments, which has been really good.
Clinton Portis with us here on G&D. Clinton, would love your unique perspective here. You're in a good position to talk about this. What's going on with their run game? I don't mean the Jaden Daniels version on scrambles and things like it, but when they hand it off to a running back over the last, I don't know, you know, since the beginning of December, that Tennessee game notwithstanding, it hadn't gone great. What are you seeing in their run game that isn't working right now?
Well, I think a huge part of the run game was missing Eckler. And all of a sudden, you know, at this point in the season, for B-Rob, man, he got to be banged up. You know, if you look at him, it's always kind of running sideways, never really getting downhill. It's like he's trying to bounce a lot of his carries. I think he missed a couple reads the other night that could have went inside, you know, but it was like he was trying to get outside. So you just got to get back. Everybody is sore. Everybody is banged up at this point in the season. Like, you're in January. You're supposed to be sore and banged up. So I think it's just his coach getting with him, showing him, hey, look, square up your shoulders, get downhill, let's turn. You know, like, on contact, he's falling. He's not breaking tackles, which we kind of saw earlier in the season, where he's breaking tackles, he's falling forward. Now, it's just like, as soon as he's contacted, you know, it almost seems like a lay down. Like, I don't want to get hit, or my body or my shoulder. So maybe it's something going on that we don't know about. I just think it's more of a coach showing you, like, hey, get your shoulder square right here and make this read, get down here. Like, you don't have to make this a big play. Often everyone is looking to pop it and, oh, every play is not going to be a big play. And that kind of come with carries. When you don't know how you're going to be used in the game plan, you're trying to do everything in one carry instead of trying to just hey, man, let me keep it simple and pick up 4 yards on this play to get us to 2nd and 6 because I know we're going to get it again. And then maybe I can get us to 3rd and 2. And if we get to 3rd and 2, I know we're going to run the ball. You know, we're on the goal line and they never even gave him a carry. You know, you look at that, like, what the, you know, put a fullback in, get out a shotgun, go quarterback sneak right there. If you feel like your run game is not clicking. So maybe it's the fear of some of his old linemen. Like, I don't know what it is, but I know you got to square up your shoulders and you got to get downhill and run hard. And as we've seen at the end of the game, Eckler, once Eckler came in, you kind of drove downfield. So I'm not sure if you want to switch B-Rob out and go with Eckler, or you come with Nichols. What's his name? Nicholson?
Jeremy McNichols, yeah.
Yeah, McNichols. So just being able to use all of those guys and figure it out.
Clinton Portis on G&D. So you kind of addressed this, but that's actually been my big question. We've had a bunch of callers ask this, and I don't know the answer. Is the issue more about B-Rob, or is it kind of system-wide with the running game? Because it's not like the other guys are having a field day with open area to run around in when they get the ball.
Well, again, Eckler hasn't been a part of that, and we know he's a big play waiting to happen in the return game. Anytime he touches the ball, you know, he's capable of making a big play. But then when you look at the running game, that duo is, to me, I think duo is the worst run in football. Like, go back to gut. Like, go and find you. We don't even have a fullback. I was looking at that on the goal line. Go put a fullback in front of these guys and get downhill. You're pulling your lineman around. You're trying to get the lineman to pull and all this. You don't, everything shouldn't be a developing play. You need quick hitters at some point. So get downhill. Go back to dive. Go back to trap. Go back to gut. You know, go back to stretch. Everything is like a read option, and it's a developing play. I think we had an opportunity as well. One of the few plays that I would say Jaden didn't make on the option call, you know, where he kind of, if he tossed it at the beginning, then that corner is wide open, but he kind of hesitated and then stretched it out. So he didn't have the pitch relationship. I think we were on like the 4 or 5 yard line when we called this. But if he would have got that ball out of his hand, it's easy to say when we're sitting in the stands or we're watching a replay. So you can't give him a negative or this is not throwing him under the bus. It's just one of those plays that I see like, oh, man, if he would have got this pitch off, that's a walk-in touchdown compared to when you're live in the action, it seems like, oh, there's two guys out here. I don't want to pitch it to my running back and get him killed. So, again, all these long developing plays, give me the ball, let me make a read, let me square up my shoulders, get downhill and push the pile instead of, oh, I got to wait on this guy to pull. I got to wait on this guy to make a block. I got to wait on this guy to do that. Give me a fullback. I know he's going straight ahead, lead to the Mike linebacker, and everything else is double team, and I can just come downhill and maybe even jump over the pile.
Clinton, you had a few years where your teams made the postseason. What was the best bit of advice that you guys got, the best bit of preparation that you guys had back in your time playing that you said, you know what, now we feel pretty ready for the playoffs, that you would impart maybe to a young coach doing it for the first time?
I just think at this point in the season where everything is, you know, you kind of get the glitz and glamour out of football. At this stage, again, everyone is banged up. Everybody that went through a long season, the healthiest teams kind of tend to prevail. And at this point, it's just we got to win 1 week at a time. And in this game plan, we should have an identity. We should know. They should know what we're about. We should know what we're about. And, you know, if you look at the defense, I think Luvu and Wagner, they're playing out of their mind. They're playing great football and deserve what they're getting, you know, with the selections. So I think at this point, you know what you are. You know who you are. You know where you struggle at. You know where you succeed at. And that's your staple. Go out and take advantage of it. You know, you got a poised quarterback that's making great throws and clutch situations. I thought it was a great game plan. We went for it on 4th down in the playoffs 4 or 5 times in the game. That's saying, hey, you know what? We can do it. And when you have that kind of attitude, guys buy into that. Guys believe, like, oh, I know we're going for it if it's under fourth and four or fourth and five. Like, we're going to make this happen because we got a quarterback who made good decisions. We got players. We got ball players who are capable of making plays. So when you look at the Ertz, the McLaurin, Deami, I think Deami made some big plays. When you look at these guys, Eckler, you know, making a catch right over the tight end. That was, right over the DN. That was a perfect call by that defense. Just a better play by Eckler and Daniels to make it happen, you know. So when you look at that and you kind of have a mindset, this is who we are, this is what we're going to do, we're going to lose together or we're going to win together. And guys understand, hey, I'm going to take chances because I believe in you. I'm going to take chances because I know we can get this done. When you call five, you go for four or five times on fourth down, those are points that you're leaving on field because you were in position to kick the field goal, you were in position to make plays, and then your punter don't punt the entire game. You don't have any turnovers. That's believing in your scheme. That's believing in your players, and I think that resonates through the locker room, and anything is possible.
Clinton Portis on Grant and Danny. Before we let you go, about a minute here left, I do want to ask you about the Lions running backs and just what you see from those guys. That's the number two rushing offense in the NFL this year via DVOA. They got two very different backs. Jahmyr Gibbs, who's a game breaker, who's actually been at his best by himself these last few weeks. And then David Montgomery, who seems to be more of the bell cow physical guy for them. But, man, are they tough.
Man, you know, I love watching those two backs. When you look at Montgomery, for him to come out of Chicago, is, you know, early on I had the opportunity to kind of talk to him while he was in Chicago and to see what he's blossoming into in Detroit. Now, let's not forget about that O-line that they have up in Detroit that's pretty good, and that receiving corps is pretty good, and the quarterback is pretty good. So it takes pressure off. But I think when you look at this and you get a guy like Montgomery coming downhill, it's just one of those points. It's one of those positions where you get a chance to say, like, if it's tough yardage, they're coming down here. They're not trying to fool you. They're not trying to hide it from you. It's we're coming downhill. Our O-line is better than your D-line. Then when you look at Gibbs, he's one of those big plays waiting to happen. He's capable of doing any and everything at any time with the ball. You know, if it's a quick pass, that angle route he ran, the angle seam that he ran against Minnesota, you know, that was one of those, my guy is better than yours. I got him in a mismatch with a linebacker. I know he's going to make the right read. It's nothing you can do. The linebacker was just stuck, like, touchdown, you know. So it's great by Coach Johnson to be able to call the plays and get all of his guys open. And you got Williams as a receiver that, you know, he can blow the top off coverage. You got St. Brown that's, one of the best receivers in the NFL. You look at your tight end, like, everyone on that team is making plays. So you got to say that offensive coordinator and the D coordinator missing all of his starters are finding a way. So when I look at that running game, I look at everything that benefits that running game. Like, you know their identity. He makes no secret about what their identity is and what they're trying to do. They're trying to maul you. They're trying to dominate you. They're trying to take over the game. And with those two backs, it gives them an opportunity to do that.
Clinton, awesome with us, buddy. Enjoy the week and have a great time watching the game on Saturday.
Hey, appreciate it, man. Y'all too.
See you, buddy. Be good. Great to hear from Clinton Portis, MVP of the team the last time they got this far, which, believe it or not, was 19 years ago.